What is up, you lewdsters? Welcome to No Holds Barred. Before we launch in, we'll hitch up with the word of the week. This is where we take a word that is Shakespearean, off-putting, confusing, troubling, makes you hate Shakespeare when you read it for the first time because you have no idea what it means. Break it down, tell you what it means, and then try to sneak it past Kevin in whatever way I want to this week during the podcast. This week, the word of the week is quatch. Quatch, Q-U-A-T-C-H, an adjective with an unclear meaning, possibly meaning squat, fat, or plump. After 6 days of vacation, my pod bod is long gone, and I'm back to having a quatch buttock. Here we go. Welcome to No Holds Barred, the Shakespeare podcast Shakespeare would have listened to. I'm Dan Bollier.
And I'm Kevin Condardo. This week we'll reflect on our late life, bring childlike wonder to Illyria, and take inspiration from the RSC's plan to monitor the heart rates of audience members at their upcoming production of Titus Andronicus by hooking each other up to lie detectors and asking each other questions we've kept under wraps for 15 years.
They should start over.
But first, our friendship? Let's duel. In the duel, we choose three questions at the intersection of Shakespeare and the present day and take 45-ish seconds to hash out the best answer. Dan won the coin flip before the show and has elected to go first.
Yeah!
So here we go. Question number one. Anonymous Whale emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com to ask, Shakespeare's plays include songs, but none of them are downright musicals. If you could turn one play into a musical,
yes,
which would it be, and what kind of music would it include? Daniel.
Yes. So I'm a big fan of the musicals currently in vogue that are using the music of one single artist, a la All Shook Up,
sure,
Elvis Presley, We Will Rock You,
sure,
Queen. So I would like to do a musical version of Twelfth Night.
Okay.
Using the entirety of the music of David J. Matthews and the Dave Matthews Band.
Come on.
And setting it in a beautiful,
in stunning, my personal hell.
Your personal hell. This is Illyria, lady. What country friends is this? Illyria. Just like two-step right off the top.
I hate it.
So I think that'd be great. Dave Matthews has written some music for Twelfth Night. It's on the interwebs. I love it. But I'd like to just take his actual music and put it right in it instead of all of the songs that are already there. The Rain It Raineth Every Day? No. Bartender. Here we go.
Oh, my God.
So I'll go with that. Twelfth Night, Dave Matthews. Are you listening, Dave?
No, I'm not. I would. I had an idea for a production of As You Like It years ago, set in the universe of The Music Man.
Oh, yeah.
So Middle America around like 1910, 1911, 1912. And it never came to fruition. I'm disappointed about that, and it probably never happened, so now I can share it with you, and maybe someone out there will do it. So this would be As You Like It, with the band being woodwind, saxophone, trumpet, trombone, sousaphone, piano, drums.
When
sousaphone. Nice. As a sousaphone veteran, veteran of the sousaphone. So when they're in the court, the music would be like that Sousa marches, barbershop type of stuff that's in The Music Man. And when you go out to the country, the exiles have taken those same instruments that play the Sousa marches and stuff, and they've learned to play New Orleans jazz.
That's awesome.
So you go into the woods, and all of a sudden, it's like that, you know, real groovy, you know, as opposed to the ba-bum, 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 and then you're just rocking out once you get into the woods. So that would be, you could write music in that style, or, you know, just do a production with it anyways.
Yeah,
question
right?
Number two, Liam Billingham emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com to ask, currently on a train reading Michael Blakemore's Arguments with England, detailing his coming up as an actor and eventual director. Well, la-di-da, Pinarosa and your nose.
Yeah, right.
Fascinated by stories of working with Olivier and doing Shakespeare. Which actor or playwright or person of Shakespeare's time do you wish had written an autobiography? Shakespeare can't be your answer. Liam loves to put qualifiers on the questions that he sends us. So I'll tell you, if I could get a biography from anyone in that time who was not Shakespeare,
yeah.
You know who I'd want?
Who?
Francis Bacon. Really? Just so we can get all this anti-Stratfordian to rest. So, like, let's get his story and let's get it on the books, yeah. And be like, here's where you were on the night of the 14th. You didn't write King Lear. Like, stop. Shut up, you conspiracy theorists.
So does it have to be a truthful autobiography? Because what if he just came out and was like, I did it?
It's a great, great question, Dan.
I wrote it all.
Great question. I would hope that there would be some fact-checking, but who knows?
You know,
at this point, who knows? The runner-up would be Edward de Vere, who is also frequently brought up as someone who, quote-unquote, really wrote the plays.
Sure.
Which would make him really the greatest writer of all time, not only for just being Shakespeare, but also for continuing to write for plays 6 years after he died, which is quite a feat.
Well,
so,
Tupac.
Francis Bacon / Edward de Vere.
That's amazing. I'm also going to make a choice here based on clearing up conspiracy theories and shedding light on Shakespeare's life, and taking someone who is not one of his actors and go with his wife. I would love an autobiography from Anne Hathaway.
Yeah, that's a good
just
one.
To clear up what the relationship was like, what was life like for her. She was a fascinating woman.
Mm-hmm.
But also just to know, you know, what was there, what's up with the second best bed.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's it personally. That's an inside like love joke.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't believe there, he could possibly have written the plays that he wrote without experiencing true love with his wife.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So but I'd like to hear that from her. So if the ghost of Anne Hathaway is listening and can write this.
Friend of the pod, ghost of Anne
Hathaway.
Come
on through. Yeah, just, you know, inspire me. I'll write it for you.
Break out the Ouija board. Question number three, finally. Mary Beth emailed us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com to ask, quote, Shakespeare created a lot of well-matched and toxic couples in the canon.
Yep.
Take a pair and give them a wedding song to characterize their love.
Sure.
As an example, I thought Jefferson Starship's cheesy but brilliant Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now would work great for those two crazy kids, Miranda and Ferdinand. So, Dan,
nice.
Take a pair, give us a wedding song for that first dance.
Sure. I think the pair that I would like to go with is Kate and Petruchio from Taming of the Shrew. I think they fit the description here in the question and both ends. Well-matched and a little bit toxic. And to go for their wedding song, I think their wedding would be a raucous occasion. We see it. We see parts of it in the play.
Right.
So I'd love to have Lady Gaga's Bad Romance.
Okay.
Just like, that's their first dance. And
sure.
They're just like grinding.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just getting really like deep tongue kissing. And it's like, there are children here.
Yeah. It's like, no, this is us. Like, on their second marriage, they might have a nicer song. Or maybe a piano version of Bad Romance.
Right.
Slowed down and ballad-like.
Right.
But I think that, you know, like, this is our romance. This is, you know. And Lady Gaga and Shakespeare, it's perfect.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga.
Gaga. Lady Gaga. So for this one, I was looking for what I think is the funniest image for this, like, first dance gone horrible. And of course, I'm going to go for the toxic end because that's funnier to me. If you want romance, there are other podcasts that'll take care of that for you. So put yourself at the wedding of Bertram and Helena after the end of All's Well That Ends Well. They clear the dance floor for the couple's first dance and a nice, slow 1950s style ballad comes on. And as Helena drapes her hands over Bertram's disinterested neck, Crazy by Patsy Cline strikes up. I'm crazy for trying and crazy for crying and crazy for loving you. And she is crazy, not in the crazy ex-girlfriend way, but because Bertram is a piece of so she must be crazy if she's into that way. So just to clarify, it is because of her taste in terrible men that I have this question mark. And also that actually would work as, it's a good like slow dance
Patsy
song
Cline
if you're not listening.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Yeah, to the listen. Yeah, yeah. Lyrics, so.
Yeah.
Anyways,
good
that,
answers. Good
that
answers,
is
everyone.
Good answers, us. That is how we duel. If you have a question you'd like to see featured in a future edition of The Duel, please send it our way. We are at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. We are on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. We are on the internets at noholdsbarred.com. We are on Twitter at noholdsbarredcast. And we are on Facebook at facebook.com. No Holds Barred cast. Daniel,
yes.
Shall we do some homework?
Yes, please.
Mortals, perchance you wonder at this show, but wonder on till truth makes all things plain.
This is the part of the program where I pull a Shakespearean homework question from the internet, and Dan and I do our best to pull together a coherent answer, no matter how stupid the question or how pressing the deadline. This episode's question comes from a Quora.com user under the heading, "If you had to rewrite Twelfth Night as a children's book, what changes would you make?"
Oh my.
They ask, "To make it harder, the story has to be told within an A4 page."
What?
So, that is the entirety of the question. If you had to rewrite Twelfth Night as a children's book, what changes would you make? To make it harder, the story has to be told within an A4 page. So I'm a son of a printer.
Okay. Like
Dusty Rhodes was the son of a plumber. I'm the son of a printer.
Yes.
An A4 page is a European sized piece of paper. Like, you know, we do 8.5 by 11. No, it's just a different sized. It's their normal. It's like saying a sheet of 8.5 by 11.
Got it.
So
this is a Brit sending the question in.
Of course. Well, they're the ones that need the most help.
Oh.
What you gonna do, brother?
Oh, wow. Well, okay. So there are some assumptions here about children's books that I'm not sure I'm prepared to make or to agree with.
Just for context, what was your favorite children's book?
I was always a big fan of the Berenstain Bears. Mm-hmm. That's a series of books.
Of course.
So I'm not sure that I have one particular favorite inside. I mean, the Great Road Race of the Berenstain Bears was a good one.
Okay, I mean, you get that. You're in the neighborhood.
The Gist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and you?
David Foster Wallace, mostly.
Nice. Infinite Jest.
Yeah, sure. Perfect. Just a little light reading when I was a baby.
Shakespearean children's book.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Wow. Matt Christopher was my jam.
Who? Oh, yeah.
I guess that was a little older, though, because I think what we're talking about
here. He wrote
here,
Danny, Champion of the World.
Was that about boxing? What was
baseball.
That about?
Baseball.
Was it about baseball?
About me. Mm. And baseball. That's what I believed when I read that book.
Yeah. Disgusting. Well, that's funny because you were a catcher with a glass arm that I related to infinitely. I read that book cover to cover. Again and again and again.
Right?
So,
I'm guessing for this, maybe it's best to base it on something more like Goodnight Moon.
I think so, yeah.
Somewhere in that
go
world.
The f*** to sleep.
Yeah.
So it's more of like a cardboard. We've got like 12 pages.
Okay.
How are we doing Twelfth Night?
As a children's book.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could get rid of Olivia's mourning. Like she just doesn't like Orsino, but we're not going to get into the fact that her brother and father have just died.
Nope. It's just a Goldilocks scenario where the twins are separated in a strange country. You have
Uncle Toby drinks too much,
but it's like
fruit juice, fruit punch.
I think you can leave it. I think we can. I know we come from 1980s sensibilities, whereas it would be like he would be drinking like soda Popinski in Mike Tyson's Punch Out, where it's like he's drinking a soda named XXX soda,
right?
And then he acts really funny, crazy Uncle Toby. Now I guess you get in trouble doing that too,
right?
But Uncle Toby's just the life of the party.
That's it. He's just the uncle we all have.
Right.
What else do we need to get rid of?
Well, Antonio's probably bouncing. I feel like you're going to replace Antonio in a children's book with like the man in the yellow hat from Curious George. Because if you're putting it to kids, it's not going to be whatever the Antonio-Sebastian relationship. It's going to be Sebastian got lost basically at the mall. And it's going to be like a police officer that's going to be like, or, you know, a teacher or, I mean, what do you teach kids if a kid gets lost now? Because like for us, it was like you find an adult.
Yeah.
So, but what is it now?
I think they just find their iPhone. Like, it's like, just hold your iPhone up.
Right.
Don't you think Dave Arbuckle from Garfield is Antonio?
Hmm.
Is it Arbuckle? Is that his last name?
Arbuckle, I believe.
Arbuckle?
It's not Dave. John Arbuckle.
Who the hell is Dave Arbuckle?
I don't know.
Oh, it's my uncle.
He's a bowler, I think.
John Arbuckle?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right at all. I feel like Antonio could own a lasagna-eating cat, is all I'm saying. I don't know that he has to go.
It's John Arbuckle. It could. Fine. I mean, like, I just feel like the relationship is Sebastian is lost. Like, yeah. That's Sebastian's storyline, is he's lost and scared and alone.
Yeah.
I see. And maybe you pare down the romance. I think you get rid of the romance between Viola and Orsino, too. I think you have to strike all of that.
What's left?
It's about, if you're paring the it down, twins. It's about the twins being reunited. And yeah. You have their parallel stories.
But then,
because what are the great children? Here's a question. Are there any good children's books about twins?
Raggedy Ann and Andy?
Yes, Raggedy Ann and Andy is correct.
Well, Berenstain Bears are kind of twinish.
Yeah, but they're a family, you know. It's like yeah. Every other. I mean, like specifically twins, like being separated from each other. Because I guess you kind of have this, that like the Care Bears and the, you know.
Yeah.
The Pound Puppies.
Care Bear Stare.
Care Bear Stare. So I would say you're paring it down to the twins being lost, coming back together.
Yeah. But then what is Viola doing if you don't have Orsino pursuing Olivia? How do they end up in the same... I feel like you can still keep Orsino trying to win over Olivia. He has to send Viola.
Like they're principals at two different schools, or like they're two teachers at a school, and they move to a new town. Their family moves to a new town.
Yeah, they're
children of divorce, Viola and Sebastian.
There we go.
And Dad moved to one town and took Sebastian, and yeah. Viola's in another town and brought Viola's mom is in another town. I mean, it's both of their mom and brought Viola. So right. Now they're going to different schools. And the teacher at one school has a crush on the teacher at another school.
Yep.
And so it's the teacher, because it's kind of like all happening out of there. They don't really understand what's happening.
Right.
But they keep going back and forth. Because you couldn't have them be at the same school, because otherwise it doesn't make any sense. Unless it's like a real children's book and it's like they just lose each other for the day.
Right.
It's like first day of school and they're like, where's Sebastian?
I miss him.
Right. And then Antonio's the custodian or something.
So yeah, there he is.
Yeah.
Who also owns a lasagna eating cat.
Fine.
Thank you. I really
push it for
part.
You know what? I got to give Dan minor. I got to give Dan small
day.
Victories.
Best day the is the cat.
Yes. Now I'm in.
All right. I think that'd be good. I think we have run on to something here.
There we go. So maybe, yeah, it's just the first day of school.
Yep.
And they get separated
yep.
in their classes. Like, they the dramatic irony of this children's book.
Right.
Is that we know they're but as children, they don't know if they'll ever see each other again.
Right.
And it's just like a six-hour school day.
Right.
And then they're reunited at the end of the day when the teachers are all in line.
So what if they come from, like they've just moved to a new town, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if they've come from like a small private school and now they're going to a big public school.
Or
that feeling of like, where am I?
Well, I want to go further in this direction
yes.
to increase our marketability and make more money
yes.
in our children's books.
Perfect.
It's a book about going to big kids school. So it's for either preschool to kindergarten or kindergarten to first grade. I don't know. We'll get some focus groups on where more money is.
Sure.
But wherever the biggest change, that like if you're in like preschool
yeah.
with like six kids and now you're going to kindergarten because it... I guess when I was going to school, elementary school was 1 to 4.
Yeah, see, my school, we had 2 kindergartens. You could go in the morning class or the afternoon class.
Was it? And then do you go to a different school for first grade?
No.
Okay.
Oh, it was K-8.
That was all in one building?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Graduating class of 13.
Was it at a farm? Were you Amish?
No, babe. Just exclusive. They had me pegged from the beginning as a genius.
All right, so I think it's whatever, first grade or kindergarten, whatever's going to make yeah. us the most money for parents to buy their kids that are scared about going to school. And it's like, see, yes, they were Lil Sebastian, which is a joke you don't get, but everyone out there that's into Parks and Rec is super into it. Lil Sebastian and Lil Viola
yeah.
go off their first day at school.
Big kid school.
And it's like, it can even be a Pixar, Disney-style covert, like the kids don't even know it's 12th night. And you're
it's
like,
perfect.
Is this goddamn 12th night?
Right. Like she's it's not 12th night. It's She's the Man. Mm. They base this book on She's the Man.
Oh my God, stop. Mr. Orsino, Miss Olivia.
Yep.
Perfect.
Yep. Yep. Best Day of the Cat.
So does that mean Toby's the custodian? Where's Toby here?
Toby should be the custodian. Okay. Or he's the lunch guy.
Oh, totally.
Toby and Andrew.
Toby and Andrew are behind the counter.
Right, they're slopping out
meatloaf. Yeah, perfect.
And he eats all the food and then acts crazy.
Right, and then Andrew also has a crush on Miss or is Toby the bus driver like Chris Farley and Billy Madison?
Must be the sea captain.
Yes.
Just that the bus driver shows
what
up.
What country friends is this? And he like opens the door and it's Elyria Elementary School.
Yes.
Swish. All right.
So are we going to write this book?
I think we are. I think we're going to make some money. Cool. So TM, registered trademark. Nobody can use this. There you go. Let's do some everyday shakes.
Perfect.
This is the section of the show where we pull a phrase from Shakespeare and show you how to use it in your everyday conversation. This week's phrase is, "Where is the life that late I led?" as featured in Act 4, Scene 1 of Taming of the Shrew. Let's hear the phrase in context.
"You peasant swain, you whoreson malt horse drudge, did I not bid thee meet me in the park and bring along these rascal knaves with thee?"
Nathaniel's coat, sir, was not fully made, and Gabriel's pumps were all unpinked in the heel. There was no link to color Peter's hat, and Walter's dagger was not come from sheathing. There were none fine, but Adam, Ralph, and Gregory. The rest were ragged, old, and beggarly, yet as they are, here they are to come and meet you.
"Go, rascals, go and fetch my supper in. Where is the life that late I led? Where are those? Sit down, Kate, and welcome. Sood, 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 sood. Why, when, I say? Nay, good sweet Kate, be merry. Off with my boots, you rogues, you villains. When?"
So there you go. That is "Where is the life that late I led?" from Act 4, Scene 1 of Taming of the Shrew. Daniel,
yes.
You want to give us a little context on
this? Yeah, sure. So this is post-Kate and Petruchio's marriage. They've come home. They've had a hard
marriage
ride.
Marriage ceremony, not their marriage.
Marriage. Yeah, maybe both.
Mapes.
Marriage ceremony, their wedding. That's what it's called these days. And they've just arrived home after a very rough ride.
Mm-hmm.
And Petruchio has come in and he's hot. He's all fired up. And he's like, "Grumio, I asked you to meet me. No one was there. Where the f*** is going on? Where's my food? Get my boots off." And then, like he's prone to do, bursts into song, singing, "Where is the life that late I led? Mm-hmm. Where are those?" And then gets Kate to sit down. And it's like, it's basically her first time at their home. So he's putting on a bit of a show.
Right.
For her, mm-hmm. for him, for his plan. Who knows? Up to interpretation.
Right.
But this is just inside baseball. I think this line is actually, if you want to make the character of Petruchio not a complete
yes.
This is one of the most important lines. "Where is the life that late I led?"
Tell me more about that. How so?
When he talks about like his life before the action of the play, we know that his father just died.
Right.
He's squandered all this money. He's right. been at war.
Right.
He's done all of this stuff. I think there's something... This is like a little insight. When we did it, this was the moment of seeing Kate alone for the first time.
Right.
And it was like, I don't know what this is either.
Right.
And then he's back on. But it's right. like a moment, a glimpse of like...
Right, because they're alone on stage at this moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So
how can we use this in our everyday conversation?
Well, there is sort of an implied like afterwards to this line, "Where is the life that late I led?" Like, I think about, well, like when it's your first day back at work after 7-day vacation and you're like, "Oh, wow, I was in the beach for right. like 100 hours.
Yeah.
And now back serving burgers. Where is the life that late I led?"
Right.
That's like, not here.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Right.
It's a good thing.
Right. It's reminiscing whether large or small.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the first thing that popped into my mind on this is when you have a kid. Like
yeah.
All of the new parents out there.
Yep.
Godspeed. But it's like, you know, suddenly you aren't controlling of your own life anymore because there's a tiny human who
right.
can't even get a job who needs your support all the time. It's like, I'd love to go out. You know, your friends are like, come on out. It's like, well, I'd love to go to the bar /go on a weekend trip to Atlantic City /do karaoke until 4 a.m. But I have a baby, which in some cases is actually a lifeline that you may or may not need, depending on what juncture in life you're at.
That's right.
But, you know, where is the life that late I led that I could go play beer pong at the gin mill until 4 a.m? Which I guess could be when you have a kid or you turn 27 and you just can't do that anymore.
That's right.
Right.
Just hang it up. It's also like, oh, I didn't get much sleep last night. I only got like 7 hours. And you're there with like a new child and you're like, where is the life that late I led? I would kill someone for 7 hours of sleep.
Honestly.
This is, you know, life as a Red Sox fan in 2005 when it was like, oh, remember when we would be so terrified? Where is the life that late I led?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Oh, kind of got this now. Kind of in, now it's sort of like a...
an optimistic bit.
Yeah, yeah. Right. A little more like, okay, things are going to be fine.
Yeah.
I used to like be freaking out about this.
Right.
But I think we're going to come back and win.
Yeah.
I feel like we might win. Where is the life that late I led?
Right, that I can have this sense of optimism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one.
I feel like, you know, Dan and I are on a softball team.
Yes, balls on, yeah.
On Monday mornings, if you want to come check us out at various sites throughout Manhattan. And now, you know, when I played sports all through high school, as you can tell based on the fact that I do a Shakespeare podcast now. And now, and, you know, playing football and hockey and whatever, and now just playing co-ed softball for 2 hours a week, and I'm limping for like 3 days.
Right.
And it's like, am I really that old?
Yes.
Am I that out of shape?
Again, am yes.
It's like, where is the life that late I led?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I lost it 900 beers ago.
At the gin mill.
you know. C.1.
Right? You're not quite that trim, slender-bodied man in high school. A little bit more quatchy.
Quatchy, is that the...
Okay, I guess
that's... We're going to write that one down.
Yeah.
Well, quatchy isn't even a word.
Never stopped you before.
That's true.
That's
true. My vocabulary is more quatch than that.
Maybe that's the word.
Oh, you got that brass bonanza ready? You know, if you try to drop in a word of the week subtly and then you bumble it and you just go, I used to be able to do that. Where is the life that late I led?
Very good.
You know, that's one. Day after getting fired.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, I guess I can sleep in. Where's the life that late I led?
Oh, I guess I'm going to have to... Oh, I remember when I didn't need to worry about, like, paying my bills.
Yeah, right?
Oh, that's another life.
I better go find that food.
Late I led.
Where's the life that late I led?
When you're eating tuna fish out of the can with, like, Italian dressing.
That's right.
Or, like, you know, when your father runs for president and inexplicably wins, so now everyone's all over you just because of a little light treason, whereas nobody cared when you were just a B-list celebrity star and you're just sitting there miserable and you're like, where is the life that late I led? Vladimir.
My last one I have here is if you're a neutered dog.
Or a spayed cat.
Or a spayed cat who can no longer eat lasagna. Vesti.
Make sure to have your dog or cat dipped in gold.
Deep cut. Breaks progress deep reference. Cut.
Yeah, wow. Rep the block. All right. So
where is the life that late I led?
Act 4, scene 1 of Taming the Shrew. Let us know how you use it in your everyday conversation.
Yeah.
All right, Daniel, plugs, corrections, banter, word of the week. What do you got?
Well, I have been completely off the grid for about 6 days. So my banter is light. I haven't been on Twitter yet. I got out of the car about 20 minutes before we started recording this. and prior to that, I've been on a deep 30 Rock binge.
Yes.
So my life has been 30 Rock. I have 30 Rock banter if you like.
It's about time.
Right? It feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good. That did lead to one tweet I recall from last week before I went off the map from D.A. Rowley, who is at Antique Fables on Twitter. He said, next step, Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Then who knows? Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. So I guess I should do Parks and Rec now because I would understand this Little Sebastian.
Bye-bye, Little Sebastian, like 10,000 candles in the wind. But you have a lot of 30 Rock left to go.
I'm 3.5 seasons deep.
And what is it, 7?
Yeah.
Eight, I started
about 5 days before I went off the grid. So I just crushed through 3 seasons.
Sure.
So this will be over soon. But when I binge things, I binge hard. And then I don't really go on to another binge for months. Like this is, I'm binging now.
Totally.
I'll be like,
then you'll
done
be out
binging.
On the binge. Right.
So.
Okay. MJ Brady, who is at Buffalo MJ, tweeted us at No Holds Barred to say, quote, so unexpected ways that the pod has impacted my life. I've been using wrestling terms in everyday convos, so thanks for that.
Wow.
And that is my segue to my latest binge. This weekend, I watched all of Glow.
Which is?
It's on Netflix. It's the Alison Brie wrestling show about the glorious ladies of wrestling.
Nice.
Can't recommend it enough.
Really?
Goosebump City. For me.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's great.
Are there Shakespearean elements?
I feel like there are in the sense that... I can't, but I can't be objective about that.
Sure.
Like, there's one moment where Marc Maron boos Alison Brie, and like I teared up.
Wow.
Just like one moment where like she makes being the antagonist work, and like she grasps being the antagonist
or the heel,
as they refer to comically a comical number of times. Like that is that's like the what was it on Pee-wee's Playhouse when?
Word of the week.
What was it? Did we steal it that boldfacedly? Regardless, heel is like every time. Drink every time they say
word.
Heel. Secret word. Yeah, they say heel constantly on that show. It'd be like a heel is the bad guy.
Nice.
That's wrestling slang. So yes, she comes to grips with being a heel. But strong recommend for Glow.
I love it.
Yeah,
it could be thrown in the future wild card episode hopper. I was thinking about Shakespearean elements of 30 Rock.
Yeah,
we could also do Glow.
I don't know that there's that many. I just recommend it.
Okay.
There's probably more in 30. I mean, Glow's also only one season. 30 Rock is done, so we can do a more comprehensive cut.
Okay. I'm into it. I'll go through and rewatch with that in mind.
Yeah.
Speaking of binging, and a future binge will be possibly Will on TNT.
Yeah.
Have you seen any of this yet?
I have not seen a jot.
Me either. Me neither?
Neither.
Me neither.
Neither.
Me neither.
Neither, neither. Let's call the whole thing off.
Let's call the whole thing off. Let's call Will off, from what I can understand.
Well, also, I was like fine with it, but then apparently they have a podcast too, so I'm like,
what?
You better get off our corner, son.
Get? How do they have a podcast already? There's one episode out.
I don't know.
What the hell? Do things come with podcasts now?
Yeah.
Shakespeare had to wait 400 years for us to arrive.
Right? Now all these Johnny come latelys with their tight doublets and their cool hair.
Yeah.
Get out of town.
Right.
But yeah, we'll have is that on Hulu? We'll have to figure it out.
We'll find it. The spread of people responding to it has been pretty vast.
Yeah.
From people who I know and respect who love it to people who I know and respect who hate it.
Yeah.
To people who I don't know or respect who I don't give a fuck about.
I feel like it's like I just kind of want to have all the podcast listeners come over and we'll watch it together and we'll just shit all over it, MST3K style. But obviously that's not going to work. So we'll have to figure some other version of that.
Figure it out. Viewing party.
Right. Some way, somehow, possibly a virtual version.
That sounds good.
Mary Beth, who said in one of our dual questions this week, was the listener that, Dan, you insulted a few weeks ago about being from New Jersey.
Oh.
So as a postscript to her question, she wrote, quote, although I'm a New Yorker, yes, Dan, we do read watch Shakespeare in New Jersey.
So she's a New Yorker.
Which I thought was interesting that she
said. So she had to put the need to clarify that for us.
And then she put a link to Shakespeare in New Jersey, which I've actually heard is very good. But
yeah, well.
We still do some things in Boston.
I did get a tweet from Ye Pitts Lancaster with an update for that paper that I owe her. I have till August 3rd because I deeply respect a teacher's right to summer vacation. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't intrude upon that.
For the weigh-in you missed 2 months ago?
2.5, I don't know. Many moons ago. Many moons. But out of respect for her hard work year-round, I wanted to make sure she had her summer to herself. So she goes, she teaches at some godforsaken school that starts school on August 3rd.
That is disgusting.
It's absolutely absurd. Mm. So the paper will be in then, and I'll be looking forward to getting a grade when that comes out.
Although,
I can tell you what it is now, A+.
I would hope to God that that means that those poor kids and also poor teachers are done in like May 5th.
Yeah, she was out pretty early.
Yeah, because we went to the end of June in New England.
Right, well, we also had snow for...
Right, exactly. We hardy New Englanders.
Beautiful.
Haley, also, who is at Yup, It's Lancaster, tweeted us to say, quote, listening to the latest So You're Going to See episode makes me realize they haven't caught on yet that my son's name is Henry.
Where would we have dropped that in that episode?
Because her kid is Henry Lancaster. What a nerd.
Wow.
As a strong Yorkist, my loyalty to the House of York is second only to my loyalty to America.
Well, well, distant second, I hope.
Well.
That's funny.
That's great.
I saw that tweet and didn't understand it. That makes more sense now.
Right.
But I still don't understand what we're supposed to
Well, her
to,
maiden
like...
name is Buckingham, so it all makes more sense when you really tie it all together.
Oh, my God.
Deirdre, who is at Dread Pirate Mama on Twitter, recently tweeted that all that Will TNT has got her wanting to read Edward III, to which I responded and said it's a great read. So she picked up a copy and is going to start reading it. So I'm hoping that Deirdre will let us know how she's enjoying Ed 3. She also tweeted, which went straight to my heart, a GIF from Saved by the Bell. I'm so excited with AC Slater and Jesse.
Jesse Spano, of
Jesse
course.
Jesse Spano.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited. I'm so
was
scared.
That the episode that she was doing like
yeah,
the caffeine
she's doing,
pills.
She's doing uppers. Yes.
To get through tests for Hilary Lancaster's English course.
Deirdre so that she asks, could go to Saved by the Bell College, wherever they went. They all got into the same college and went there.
That's right. And Mike Golick was there.
Really?
In the college years, yeah.
Of Mike and Mike fame?
Of Mike and Mike fame.
Huh. I didn't know they had a football program.
Oh, yeah. AC Slater.
Did he play football? He was a wrestler.
Wrestler, and he also played football, I think.
Did he?
I think so. Hmm. We'll check our Saved by the Bell
podcast. We'll get the Bayside alumni directory up.
Deirdre is asking about the Shakespeareans in San Jose in August. Can tell you it's at the end of August. As You Like It. Details, links are forthcoming.
TBD.
In
other additional TBD, Alice messaged us at facebook.com/ No Holds Barredcast. Ask, last episode you mentioned a formal way of submitting everyday shakes. What's the preferred method for sending in recordings? Which is funny because that means, and I realize now we started talking about it.
Yep.
And how we were going to talk about a formal way to submit recordings. And then never actually did that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com with your recording.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
Or tweeting at us because we love to hear from people on Twitter. And that's, you know, for 140 characters, you can do your community service by giving us the will to go on for another week.
Yeah. The will TNT. Yeah.
But, yeah, so noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com with those recordings, and we will roll them in as appropriate.
Yes. Correction. I have a correction.
Oh.
Last week you said you were going to, or in the last regular episode, you said you would tweet out a breakdown of the Buffalo 7 times sentence.
I didn't.
And I've been racking my brain as to how that's a sentence.
All right. Well, if you're racking your brain, I won't give you any more struggle about this. Buffalo, 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 buffalo is a grammatically correct sentence in American English, often presented as an example of how homonyms and homophones can be used to create complicated linguistic constructs, since they can get married now. The sentence is unpunctuated and uses 3 different readings of the word buffalo.
Okay.
In order of their first use, these are A, the city of Buffalo, New York, United States, home of the perennial loser Buffalo Bills.
Yes.
B, the noun buffalo, an American bison, an animal in the plural, equivalent to buffaloes or buffaloes, and Kevin Condardo's cherished childhood stuffed animal.
Buffy,
T. Buffalo. And finally, C, the verb buffalo, meaning to outwit, confuse, deceive, intimidate, or baffle, as in No Holds Barred Buffaloes. It's Shakespeare podcast competition on a weekly basis.
Well done.
So the parsed sentence reads as a claim that bison who are intimidated or bullied by bison are themselves intimidating or bullying bison, at least in the city of Buffalo, specifically Buffalo, New York.
My God, I regret everything.
Well, if you want, I will diagram the sentence here. I will not promise to put it on the internet because I won't do it.
Nice.
But there you go. So Buffalo, 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 Buffalo.
My God.
This is the type of insight you can't get anywhere else on the Shakespeare podcast internet.
That's it. We've done it here. We thought table work was hard.
Paul Ochone, who is at Eccentric Fanboy on Twitter, tweeted us at No Holds Bardcast to clarify the pronunciation of his name, which I believe we butchered six ways till Sunday on the last regular episode.
That's right.
It's Ocone.
Ocone.
He writes, Ocone. At least in the U.S., in Italy, maybe Ocone.
Yeah.
Someone recently said Ocione, which was really amusing since mispronunciations are rare. Well, if you can come out here and say your French last name any way you want to, yeah. Paul will forever be Paul Ochone.
I like it.
With the hand gesture that no one can see, but,
it looks
is
like, but it's an O. You're I've making done. An O there.
Oh, nice. We'll put the t-shirt out.
Right.
The Paul Ochone t-shirt. One piece of business before I forget. As most of you know, we have a fancy pants new website at noholdsbarred.com.
Yes.
And also, we've switched over our archive from where we were before at Podomatic to now we are at Libsyn. So you can now see our entire back catalog, except for episode one, at noholdsbarred.libsyn.com.
Can I clarify something real quick?
Yes.
When you say back catalog, yeah. This is not a catalog of pictures of our backs or our backsides.
No.
It's just the episodes that...
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
Come on.
I wonder if we have a photo shoot tomorrow. I'm going to have to nair some stuff. That's all I'm saying.
Good God. Oh, God. I regret it, but I've brought this up here because in checking the statistics, it looks like we still have about 200 people or so that are subscribed directly to Podomatic rather than through iTunes, and I'm not sure how they even did that.
Ah.
But so they're not going to be getting, you know, we're going to stop updating that Podomatic shortly because it's a pain in the neck. So if you are somehow subscribed directly to Podomatic or something else, rather than going through iTunes or Libsyn, please update your subscription. Otherwise, you'll think we quit. And it's like, no, we're just late all the time.
Just
like,
a little bit
quit.
Tardy.
You know? We're taking our cues from the MTA and we're just, you
That's
know,
right.
There's train traffic ahead of
there's
us.
There's train traffic
There's podcast
ahead.
Traffic ahead of us.
The MTA.
Right.
I learned recently what that stands for. Might take a while.
Ah, nice.
I like that.
My last piece of discussion this week for the general health of the table comes from our second favorite Sutton, and to be frank, plummeting in the rankings, Monty, who is at Montgomery Sutto on Twitter. He tweeted us at No Holds Barred to write, quote, catching up on No Holds Bardcast number 98, at Fear Strikes Out, hashtag wrong. Iago talks supposed sluicing in two separate soliloquies, and Amelia references rumors, and if something that, quote, doth like a poisonous mineral gnaw your inwards, end quote, is a throwaway, please God, never let me see your baggage. End quote. End tweet. Well, Montgomery, I know you'd like to take a page out of your idol Donald Trump's book and just throw the hashtag wrong on a false statement to make it true. A very wise man once said, facts are stubborn things.
Yes.
Iago says of Desdemona, quote, now this is me now being angry at Monty for clarity.
I gotcha.
You could also tell the difference because now truth is coming.
Uh-oh.
Iago says of Desdemona in this soliloquy, quote unquote, now I do love her too, not out of absolute lust, though peradventure I stand accountant for as great a sin, but partly led to diet my revenge, for that I do suspect the lusty Moor hath leaped into my seat, the thought whereof doth like a poisonous mineral gnaw my inwards.
Yes.
So, even in this game-breaking soliloquy, Iago is just saying that it's partly because of the inward gnawing.
So I forget what the main argument was in the first place.
That... Iago sucks
and
is unjustified and never really explains why he's doing what he's doing.
Gotcha.
In a convincing way compared to the good antagonists in Shakespeare's canon.
I see.
So he says Iago's saying that it's partly because of this feeling that his inwards are being gnawed. Well, what's the rest? And that's not to mention that he wants to get down with Desdemona regardless, which is a pretty hypocritical stance about this whole thing, especially compared to the previously mentioned more interesting antagonists like Richard III or John the Bastard or Edmund, who are all, for however miserable they are, very consistent in their beliefs.
Yes.
Richard III and all these guys are a lot of things.
So your argument
but they're not hypocrites. Yes.
And isn't that interesting, though?
Hypocrisy
is boring?
Yes.
What?
Because it's you're just a liar.
I think hypocrisy is boring.
But you know what? I think... No, it's not that it's boring. I'm sorry. It's not that it's boring.
Yeah.
It's that you're just a liar. You yeah. know? And there's yeah. no art to that. Anyone can just lie.
That's true.
You know? But like... And as an audience member and as an actor,
yeah,
like what do you dig into? Like, oh, I'm just a liar. I'm just a dick.
Just lying.
Just lie. I just say whatever is convenient.
Yeah. Just trickstering.
And you know, I don't even care if you have a Monty Sutton up there on the boards performing these lines. These seven lines don't hold a candle to Winter of Our Discontent or Why Bastard Wherefore Base or Commodity of the World. It's not there.
So I'm smelling an antagonist off.
Well, he wishes. More importantly, though, the lines. Literally preceding the above passage, if you want to go back four more lines, which yes. I believe I'm allowed to do. I'm not a dramaturg. Iago says, "The more, howbeit that I endure him not, is of a constant, loving, noble nature, and I dare think he'll prove to Desdemona a most dear husband." Mm. So then how the hell does he think he's cheating on her?
How does who think he's cheating?
Iago says, "The more, howbeit that I endure him not, is of a constant, loving, noble nature, and I dare think he'll prove to Desdemona a most dear husband."
Yep.
Now, I do love her too, not out of absolute lust, though, peradventure, I stand accounted for as great a sin, but partly led to die at my revenge for that I do suspect the lusty Moor hath leaped into my seat. What?
So he's inconsistent with himself as well.
Well, then
this is a
sucks.
Tortured
it's
man.
Boring.
This is very interesting to me. This is, you got to uncover this. You got to dig in on that and going, if he can't even follow his own logic, there's a deeper flaw here.
Shakespeare didn't care about this character and threw it away.
Whoa.
Iago,
oh, I can't get
overrated
that.
And garbage.
Oh, my God.
Uninteresting.
Oh, love it.
Pass.
Hot take.
Iago, over. It's not a hot take. You know, all these ingenues like Monty Sutton come out here with their little dreamboat looks and their great talent, and they think they can just roll in and just be Iago, and it's like, no, man. Those of us that have been in the trenches being ugly and miserable know that's not interesting. So...
Did you want to play Iago at one point and it didn't get cast? Is that what's going on here?
No. There's nothing... It's a waste of time.
Oh, wow.
Not into it. And also, nobody ever gets to see my baggage because I'm from New England and we bottle that shit up.
That's right.
So don't hold your breath.
We check our bags. Carry on.
I'm like sweating. Is this what you're like all the time?
All the time.
I'm real heated.
Running hot. I love it. I love it. I think it's going to be amazing when Monty shows up at the Richard III debate and just starts doing Iago.
Lame.
I want a monologue off.
With
Richard,
that,
Richard versus run a campaign. Richard,
I love that
versus Iago running for some sort of office.
Just based on the text that Shakespeare gives.
Yep,
great.
I like it.
I'm into it.
Cool.
All right.
I'll sell tickets.
I need to go take a cold shower. I think you have anything else?
I'm good.
All right. If you like the show and want to kick us a few bucks, you can check out our Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. If you contribute $3 a month to help out the show, you'll get on our 12-night card list next January and also have access to other special benefits that we make up as we go along. If you don't have the means or interest in supporting us financially but still want to help us out, you can do so by giving us a rating and review on iTunes so we can try to keep a foothold in the top 200 performing arts podcast listing. We have one new review this week to get us to 95. Come on, get
Every
us to 100. Please,
king.
We need those inches. Get us to 100. It'll make us so happy.
Please.
And no new reviews this week. Womp womp.
Womp.
Nobody,
womp.
Nobody
Nothing to read.
For
no
us.
One of their words read aloud.
No one.
Bastards.
Alack and alas.
Okay. I want two reviews this week.
Make it
five
so.
Ratings? Is that what we need?
We need to get to 100. We really do. We should have three figures. I mean, all these other,
right.
You know, Iago Shakespeare podcasts, and we really need to step up and get to that three figures. So help us out, gang. Word of the week. Quatch.
It was a quatch.
Yeah, baby! Oh, it feels so good to be back. Oh, it has been a grip.
Yeah.
Since I felt the dulcet tones of the fight song of the Hartford Whalers. What a great way to put a button on yelling at Monty for 5 minutes than to prove I'm right with the bananas. The fight song of the whale and Richard the Third.
This is to celebrate the question from Anonymous Whale.
So, very nice. Absolutely.
That's what I thought.
So the Quatch is what Harry Potter has to catch to win Quidditch matches, right?
That's the golden Quatch.
Okay.
Of course. Quatch is an adjective, meaning squat, fat, or plump.
Got it. So,
so
quatch, buffalo, 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 quatch, buffalo, buffalo.
That's correct.
Nailed it perfectly. all right. To keep in touch until next time, you can find us on the web at noholdsbarred.com. You can email us at noholdsbarredpodcast@gmail.com. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/noholdsbarred. You can tweet us on Twitter at noholdsbarredcast, or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/noholdsbarredcast. So, on behalf of the Seven Stages Shakespeare Company, oh, shoot. I guess we didn't get to the lie detector this week. Oh, well. We'll try harder next time. Till then. My name is Kevin.
I'm Trey Sheik. I'm Dan, back on the grid. See you next week.
Adieu, adieu, adieu. Adieu, 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 adieu.